Good morning and welcome, and good to be here. And Luke and Joey, good to have you guys here, Carolyn. And maybe we should have a prayer for the West, because I think there's quite a few ladies from here on a few different trips hitting the West. So we maybe should be praying for the West over the next week or two. No, good. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy, I called him last night, and remember yesterday afternoon, me and Marcus have kind of a standing agreement, and I didn't think about it till yesterday afternoon that Marcus wasn't here. So Jeremy agreed to do a scripture reading on pretty short notice, and I appreciate that. Did find it. Thank you, Jamin, for the Sunday school, and it tickled me just a little bit, because I guess in Virginia they don't have an H in humility. It's humility. But they also don't teach on not tooting your own horn. So that part of humility, no. Very good, Jamin. That was good. And that's good stuff. I'd like to speak from the floor here this morning and maybe more interactive a little bit. So I'd like to do a few messages in Peter. And digging into it, it felt better to go ahead and maybe put Peter, the time and Peter's own life into perspective a little bit, kind of where he was at and what all was going on. So you're going to have to help me a little bit. Some of you are in school, have been through this stuff, so we'll pick your brain. So we're going to start out with a little bit of history, and we're going to start at Rome and kind of go from there to Peter. So what all can you guys help me with Rome about AD 50? What, especially though, some of you just went through some of this stuff at school, but what was happening in Rome about AD 50, give or take? I mean, even just hitting in those general areas, what, anybody, anything? We can throw Nero in there. What do you know about Nero? What do you know about Rome in AD 50, 60 in there? World power. Rome was a world power. There was a saying that was said at those times, all roads lead to Rome. And there was a truth about that. What can you tell me about Nero? How old was Nero when history picks up his story, kind of? Some of you guys, it's okay. Like, let's just wrestle with it. So if help me out. Some of you guys know this stuff. Did Nero come from a nice family? I'll say a little bit. So Nero was born in about AD 37, and Nero's mom married the Caesar, which happened to be her uncle. So at this time, Nero might have been 15, and Nero's mom then poisoned her husband, and she basically took control of Rome. Nero was at 17. 2 years later, Nero was put in charge, 17 years old, somewhere there, 16, 17. But his mom was very involved in Claudius. And he ended up marrying his sister, Octavia. And that went for a few years, and then he didn't like her. He had her poisoned. So he also, about 2 years after he was put in power, poisoned his mom because she was wrestling for control. So that's part of Nero, 16, 17, in charge, but a little crazy. So just part of the reason I want us to do this is because there was world situations happening at this time simultaneously with some of these books of the Bible, and sometimes we kind of lose sight of where they're actually at in those times. So one of Nero's grand plans was to tear down about a third of Rome and to build up to build a series of palaces called the Neapolis, and the Senate objected. What happened in about AD 64 that was significant in this time and with Nero and all of this? What was a significant happening there? You guys know this. Yeah, Rome burned, and it's said, we don't know for sure if he literally, but it looks like it was July 19th. It's about a week from today's date, and Rome was a very hot city. So he was said to have been at the ocean side, and Rome started on fire, and it was to Nero's good that it burned, because it accomplished what he was hoping would happen. And there was mercenaries in the city keeping firefighting from taking place. So it burned for 6 days and kind of got put out, and then started again, burned another three more. About two-thirds of Rome burned. So AD 64, and that was July 19th. And it said, and it's unknown if that Nero was singing and playing his fiddle while Rome literally was burning. But that's a little bit who Nero was. History blames Nero for the disaster. What's kind of interesting through this, and this is where it enters the Christian story, is largely at that time Nero put the blame on the Christians. And there was prophecy that Rome would burn. And like there was people speaking about what was going to happen, and it worked for Nero to blame the Christians. He very handily, it was a religious group, largely Jewish roots, and we would know them as the early Christians. Nero mercilessly and indiscriminately started persecuting this group, the Christians. History would tell us during gladiator matches, he would feed Christians to lions, and he would use human torches to light his garden parties. Literally human torches, but he was using Christians to do this. And there's evidence that Roman Christians had prophesied about this happening and destroyed by before it happened. So AD 64, AD 65, so as far as how this encounters Peter and Paul, it's a little unknown exactly when Paul and Peter died, but if you want to put years to their deaths, it was after the fire within the next couple years. So this energy in Rome, like there was a culmination, I don't know. So Peter and Paul both killed in these next couple of years. Maybe in the greater world, AD 66, Jewish nationalism, so this is still in just 2 years after the fire, AD 66, Jewish nationalism spilled over into open rebellion against Rome. So even like all the stuff that was happening at Jesus' birth and the energy in Roman rule, here in AD 66, Jewish nationalism spilled over into open rebellion. Riots broke out between Jews and Gentiles in Caesarea, and just this big ruckus. In June AD 66, like some of the things the Jews were doing to appease the Romans, they quit doing sacrifice in the temple. Rome sent soldiers to subdue the revolt, and they were defeated by Jewish soldiers, which is significant. So this revolt is happening in the Roman Empire in Jewish territory, but the Jewish soldiers actually defeated the Romans. So, like, there's this big upheaval. Rome responded with about 60,000 soldiers, and they moved through the Jewish region town by town. Many Jews died by fighting, many by suicide. Like, once their towns were overwhelmed, a lot that just chose to just die rather than go on under Roman. So this is AD 66, 67, 68. 67, the revolt was over, except in Jerusalem was still occupied by Jewish leadership and revolt. Rome marched toward Jerusalem And it was 67. At this time, Nero was condemned to death by his own Senate. And then he took his own life. And for about a year, there was just this infighting in the Roman Empire. And so Jerusalem was still occupied by Jews. The Empire of Rome, like there was this struggle going on for who comes out in leadership. And when it did came out, I forget what his name was, somebody can help me. But then they marched on, 80,000 Roman soldiers marched to Jerusalem. In AD 70, the Romans took it, torched the temple, Jewish prisoners put to death, public places. So from AD 64 to AD 70, there's quite a bit of upheaval in Rome. And in these years, we find Peter and Paul in here. And I think it's easy. Sometimes we read the Bible and some parts of the Bible, and we just think of them as out in the woods, you know, little cities, little towns, and little backwoodsy. And the reality is they were in the middle. Like, this was the epicenter. Rome was the epicenter of the world at that time. So I'm going to touch on Paul's final years. A little interesting. So maybe AD 57, 58, Paul was imprisoned the first time in Caesarea. Jeremy read this morning Colossians, which was written in AD 60. So after he was imprisoned, and like this imprisonment started, and it, like he waited for about 2 years for trial. Like it was about a 4 year thing the first time. Then he was released and imprisoned again. So this period of Paul's life, largely in prison. He appealed to Caesar, waited 2 more years. He had waited 2 years before he ever appealed. After he appealed, he went 2 more years. In this time, he wrote Philemon, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians. And he was acquitted 61, 62, somewhere there. Released in 62, but then later imprisoned again. One thing that's kind of interesting, like, is you, and you'll hear it in some of, I'm going to read the last part of 2 Timothy, and it's the last of Paul's writings that we know in history, dated. Like, it would be his final writings. But it's kind of interesting that this run of Paul, like, a lot of his writings were to groups or churches, but it's almost like you get down close to the end, and it's Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, it's Titus, but he starts writing men. But you can kind of hear the torch. You can kind of hear the finish. Like, I've kind of done. And he starts writing men and said, go on, do this. And you could spend a lot of time here with Paul. The reason I'm digging into it is because of Peter. So he wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy in AD 63 or 64. He was condemned by Nero. It appears in history that a short time after this fire in 64, in the next couple of years, then this is a Roman citizen. Let's not forget that Paul was educated. He was learned. He was a citizen. Peter was not. He came from he was a fisherman, not a Roman citizen. And like, Paul couldn't be crucified. He had rights, but he could be beheaded, and he was. Peter didn't have those rights. So Paul had more rights than Peter, but it was in this time that Paul met his end. Peter was born in Bethsaida in Galilee, a fishing town off the Sea of Galilee. How do you describe Peter young? Like, how do you describe Peter? What are things that you think of when you think Peter? Educated? Impulsive? Outspoken? Passionate? Bold? Bold? Was he rough? Came from a fishing town. Was he educated? Not really, right? I mean, these are all things that were part of He came from Galilee. His fishing was what Peter did. Somewhere 80, 25, 27, Peter married and had children. Sometimes I forget that about Peter, is that he was married and had children. And it makes references to that. His family and his mother-in-law settle in Capernaum. And about 30 AD, Simon meets Jesus. It's kind of interesting because Peter was born in BC 1. So that would put his age very close to Jesus' age. Like as far as in AD 30, Simon met Jesus. Tough, rough, bold. How far does his journey take him? How far from his roots? He's introduced to Jesus, his brother, and Jesus later asks him to follow him. Like we know that Jesus, I mean, Peter knew of Jesus, and when Peter was asked, at this time it wasn't Peter, right? It was just Simon. But when Jesus asked Simon to follow him, he left his nets and followed. Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Later, Jesus added Peter to his name, Petra. Peter walked on the water. Peter was at the Transfiguration. Peter outspoke and says he'll never deny Jesus. And then he does three times. Peter running, they going to the tomb and the restoration there of Peter, Jesus. And I don't know how you would describe Peter at that time as far as he had let Jesus down a lot in that interaction. And Jesus speaking to him and saying, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lambs. Jesus' death there in about AD 33, and then his resurrection, that interchange, feed my sheep. But it's kind of interesting how quickly you go from that to what do you find in Peter at the start of Acts, at the start of, like, it's one of the last chapters in John when we have that interchange at the sea and Jesus is saying, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And very quickly you find Peter leading the disciples at Pentecost and preaching boldly. Something changed, something flipped, like, something came home in Peter. John and Peter heal a man who'd been lame since birth. Peter taken into custody by Jewish law. Ananias and Sapphira there. Peter confronts him. Peter and John sent to Samaria to teach. It's kind of interesting. The fishermen. If you just read Acts, it's not hard to believe that Peter was sent to teach. But if you remember where Peter came from, that's quite a ways. Peter brings a little girl back to life. Peter, born in Israel, fisherman, the teacher, preacher. And then God does this big thing. How big when God showed him the plates and Cornelius and how much history was rooted in Peter, and how much faith did it take for Peter to recognize that the gospel was now for the Gentiles? I mean, Luke, try to explain that. Like, how hard would that have been? But Peter did. Like, he understood what the Lord was doing. You want to make any comments there? Yeah, how the Lord revealed that there. Herod kills James, the brother of John, arrests Peter, puts him into jail. Timeline here, about AD 42. And part of the reason, I mean, that's interesting to me, it may not be to you. It's AD 42, the fire in Rome was about AD 64, okay? Peter, when he walked out of that jail at night and was the girl Rhoda. And he, the angel showed him out, and like, I think it was a little hard for Peter to believe that it had just happened, that he walked out. Peter was about 42, 43. It was about 80, 42, 43. And up to this time, largely Acts and the Acts of the apostles and the early church, most of the stuff had run through Peter and the disciples, about 80, 42. And for about 20 years, we hear nothing or very, very little from Peter. What happened to Peter? Like, it's kind of interesting how forefront and out there, we find an encounter. Peter was involved in the early church leadership. He was one of the main leaders in those years. Was actually not one of the, I mean, obviously Paul was teaching and spreading, but one of just kind of the main inside leaders of the early church was actually James, who was not an apostle. He was the brother of Jesus, half-brother, and he was like, when the resurrection happened, something clicked in James, because he was at Pentecost. But then he became a very central part in those years. And Paul's first missionary trip was about 80, 48, so that's about 6 years after Peter walked out of the jail there. And Bible's very quiet on Peter from when he walks out of prison, even though he's involved in leading. And Paul takes center stage in traveling, in writing. In Galatians 2, about 6-7 years after Peter walks out of prison, we find Paul calling out Peter and James. And we find the story in Acts 15, and we find it in Galatians. But Peter, even though he had the bravery and the courage to recognize that God was going to the Gentiles, at this time he had been fellowshipping with Gentile Christians. And like, through his time there, I guess it would have been Galatia, that like, through the influence of others, he started not fellowshipping with Gentile Christians unless they were circumcised. And Paul, they had this interchange, called them out. Acts makes it look quite a bit better for Peter and James than Galatians does. But there's an interchange there. So in this 20-year period, that's about all that we hear from Peter. It's interesting to me that Peter started writing somewhere about 80, 60, 62, maybe literally 62. You find different dates. But so it's just before the great fire in Rome. And Peter's been very quiet, active in church leadership. What makes Peter start writing? And his age now would be his early 60s. And remember, a fisherman from Bethsaida. Spent a lot of time with Jesus in those 3 years. These are a few things that could have triggered Paul. I mean, a few things that could have triggered Peter coming back more forefront. Paul had been in prison now a few years, Caesarea, and for a large part, in those 20 years, you find Paul, his leadership out front. So Paul would have been in prison. In AD 59, Paul appealed to Caesar, would have gone to Rome about AD 60, spent 2 years in prison. So Paul was in prison. In 62, James, and this is Jesus' brother, a prominent leader in the early church, he was stoned to death, and this is by Jewish authorities. So in Jerusalem. So these are things that are happening at that time. And you don't read any of this in Peter. You know, you read of trials and things, but you don't know what all is happening. But something made Peter start writing. So about 62, James stoned to death. He had written the book of James about 10 years earlier. All roads lead to Rome. Is that part of it? It sure appears that Peter ended up in Rome. And that's through different things. So looks like in these last 80, 60, that Peter would have actually been in Rome also. All roads lead to Rome. Rome had become a world hub, thought, communication, idea, power, roads. God did use the Roman Empire to extend Christianity's reach. Most historians would place Peter in Rome in his last years. A fisherman from Bethsaida, ordinary people. That's probably a good word, is Amharaz, the common. That's where Peter came from. Amharaz. Would have spoken Aramaic. I guess, is that the right way to say it? Aramaic. Probably not Hebrew. Maybe limited Greek, because it appears that there probably would have been some Greek fishermen. So he might have had some Greek, broken, limited Greek through fishing. The gospel had traveled north farther than Paul ever went by this time. So somewhere the gospel had went quite a bit farther than Paul ever traveled. And how did that happen? Was it just the gospel through people? Did Peter and his wife travel north? Did they teach? We don't know this stuff. Modern day Turkey would have been about five huge provinces, population about 8.5 million people. This is the north of this land. And perspective, about 1 million Jews, about 80,000 Christians scattered in the 8.5 million people. But did Peter sense what was just ahead with Nero and persecution? Did Peter go because Paul was in prison and James was killed? Did Peter just go to the hub? Why did he start writing? Did he know his time was about up? Nero killed him then in 4 or 5 years later. But we do know Peter cashed in on his influence, and he didn't shy away and he didn't retire. He went. The writing was in Greek, which had world traveling ability. And the audience, Christians scattered in Asia Minor across a wide area of nationalities, Greek, Jews, Oriental. Persecution was largely centered around Rome before the fire. It didn't go far. It was after this that it went quite a bit further. It's interesting that close to the end of Paul's writing, he calls for Timothy. He says, bring Mark too. And what's kind of interesting about that is then Mark was with Peter when he wrote. So there's kind of this whole end of an era in the 60, 61, 62 in the Roman Empire and the fire and all of this kind of happening. When Peter wrote, Silas was there with him too. This is interesting. Paul asked for Mark to come. Mark was with Peter. Peter probably died in 66 or 67 when he was crucified upside down. Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark in the next couple of years. And probably it is thought that it had to do with Peter's eyewitness account and the Holy Spirit. But it's kind of interesting how Mark and Peter, there's parts of that story that weren't his. I don't know. Peter older, James gone, Paul in prison, Peter the fisherman writing, encouraging. had been quiet a long time. And just when Peter starts writing, it's interesting, kind of his tone and what he sees and how he engages. Peter, older, still in the mix, and probably realized his time wouldn't be long. Mark, Silas helped him write. Seasoned veteran a long way from Bethsaida. Haraz. He knew his position as a child of God. You find that very quickly. Knew his destiny. And I'm not even going to go to Peter. I was going to read part of Peter. I'd like to read some of the last of Paul's writings, because there was this overlay, the end of Paul's writings and the start of Peter. So if you want to pull up, I'm not going to comment a lot. Just feel the tone of Paul. And
the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, the Lord, the righteous judge. brought before the judge, no one came with you, everyone abandoned you. They had not been counted against them, but the Lord stood with you, gave you strength, and now I preach the good news in its entirety to all the dead out of the earth. And he rescued me from certain death. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack, and will bring you safely to your heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever, amen. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, and those living in the house of the Lord of Ephesus, who asked to stay in Corinth, Nella, Trophimus, Sue, and Aletheus. Do your best to get here before winter. We will send you greetings, so that Prudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters, may the Lord be with your spirit, and may his grace be with all.
It's just interesting how Paul ends, and it's normal life, it's his writing, but how Peter, this is the time when Peter starts writing, and I don't know, it's just, there's something about the seasoned veteran in the middle of noise, and you look at Peter's writings, and I don't know, it just, it adds a richness to me. I kind of like to know the story and where it's at, so that's kind of all I have. Anybody have a testimony or anything? It can be anything today that was shared or just a prayer request. We'll just close there. So I'm gonna open it up.